Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's episode of Carolla Classics is brought to you by Pure Talk. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're paying way too much for the exact same coverage you get with Pure Talk. Look where your bill shows data usage. The average person uses less than 4 gigs a month, but big carriers charge for unlimited data. Pure Talk saves the average person over $400 a year. That's unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all for $20 a month. If you go over data usage, they don't charge for it. So all you got to do is go to puretalkusa.com, enter the promo code ADAMPODCAST, and save 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code ADAMPODCAST. Pure Talk, simply smarter. Wireless. Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for Saturday, October 17th, 2020. We're going to play you some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show. He's done over 11 years of podcasts, so we got a lot to choose from, and we got some great clips for you. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Happy Saturday, everybody.
And happy Saturday to you, Gio. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody, get a quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Now, let's get going with some clips. One of my favorite things that we do on the show, it's actually my first real experience of Brian on the Drops, is when Adam would talk to Isaac Hayes. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the backstory of Brian getting those drops?
Yeah, it was close to the end of Isaac's life, unfortunately. He called into the morning show after the South Park controversy, where due to Scientology, he kind of denounced the show and was written off of it. It was kind of a big deal in the latter 2000s. I think this was like circa 07 or 08. And so he called into the morning show for this interview, but he's kind of out of it, and he seemed to indicate he was like just like running on his treadmill or something. Like he was just not paying attention. He wasn't tracking. And they tried to talk to him, and they're really nice to him, and it was a fine chat, but he just wasn't there. And that's where these drops kind of come from. So these really out-of-context drops in the moment that now Brian plays out of context just any time. They're kind of rare these days, but back circa 2012, they're still getting played from time to time. You still hear them from once in a while, just they were more common back in the day. And this is Adam Carolla Show 735 featuring Dr. Bruce, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's January of 2012, and this is actually the episode with the Allison debacle, if you remember that one, Chris?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, Brian has his Isaac Hayes mashup. I think it's number 3, and this one nobody remembers, with a forgotten luck be a lady tonight in the middle of Adam's no-rule rant. Check it out.
Guys, please imagine being me for just 1 second. thank you. I am going to leave for Laguna Seca, which is up north, which is about a five and a half hour drive from where I live. And I'm racing that day, all day on Thursday. And I got to get a full day in over there. So we're going to need, when I say we, I mean Matt and Jeff, we're going to need to leave my house on Thursday at like before 6 a.m. And which is perfect because I have a radio tour lined up to promote Rich Man, Poor Man, my ebook on that morning. And it's from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. So I say, fuck it. Let's leave at 5:55. I'm getting up anyway. I'll be on the road, and I'll do this thing from 5:55 or 6 o'clock till 8 a.m. So everyone meets over my house. It's still dark outside. Everyone takes the equipment, the cameras, and all that shit. We all pile it into my car, and we all head out up the 101 at 6 a.m. And at 6 a.m., I call in the number. It's like this. It's like a 9, 10-digit number that you call in that is the number of the operator of the company that rolls these things. They set up a roster, and they go, they print it out, and they, you usually go east to west in the time zone, and they give you like 23 stations you're going to be talking to, and they start at 6 a.m., and it goes all the way down to whatever, whenever you're done. And so at 6 a.m., I call into the chick. Now, I get a piece of paper that says, here's the chick's number, and her name is A-L-I-S-Y-N.
Allison.
Yes.
That's what I would think.
That's what you would think, except for you're an Allison.
Right.
Who probably knows some alternative spellings.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know any Allisons with a Y. I only know the ones with an O. You're an O, aren't you?
I'm an O.
Do you know any Ys?
I know of a Y.
You've heard tale of a Y.
Yes, I have, and I'm not in favor of it.
Allison.
Oftentimes, the Y will be where the I is.
Yeah.
But then,
yes.
Like, so this is some newfangled other thing.
Well, right. And we're, first off, they're names that traditionally are spelled three different ways, like mm-hmm. Kathy with a K or with a C or something like that, or Brian with a Y or an I or whatever it is. All right. But
yeah.
Allison to me was never really up, wasn't up for debate.
Right.
I just knew the old school Allison. It's
right.
An old name, and there's
Ooh.
Just one way to go. But evidently, there's not. But when you're looking at the piece of paper with no last name that just has the A-L-I-S-Y-N, and you understand we're living in a society where everyone has a fucked up name.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Jermichaels and stuff like that.
Right.
You don't know anyone's name anymore because we have a ton of different ethnicities and just a ton of different assholes who like to spell their name just a little bit different and pronounce it just a little bit different. So when I'm looking at this piece of paper, I don't know if it's Allison or Allisine
right.
or Allisine. Or I don't know where anyone's from anymore. You got to realize.
You're calling into an urban station.
Well, you live in the United States. People are from fucking Pakistan here and shit. Like, you don't know where people are from. I mean, you meet people from all over the place. I mean, you ever dial a wrong number and have someone pick up the phone?
Take a little time to be quiet.
This is Kelsey Grammer. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get that on the other side. You get crazy accent, right?
True.
So I don't know what it is. So I call the number, and I get the, of course, because it has to be confusing, and it has to be at 6 a.m., I get the chick who picks up the phone. Hello? You know, so-and-so radio network, whatever. And I said, is Alice, Allisine? 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 Of course, there's no last name, so because that would make, that would be too difficult to put the last name on the fucking piece of paper. So I'm like, is Allisine? Allisine in? Allisine in? Allisine? And of course, because they're them? No, we don't. There's nobody, you know, there's nobody. They can't do the
right.
math of, yes,
wow.
There is a cunt named Allison who spells her name like a nut job.
I wonder if they
the
like, why do people keep calling here for Allison?
Right.
I'm sure this is not the first time.
So I said, no, Allison. And she's like, no, nobody buy it. Nobody buy it. Again, they could never go. Well, there's an Allison.
Right.
They'd never do that.
Sitting
they're
across
never,
the way from me, staring at me.
They'd never do that. Never do that.
Waiting for your call.
Yeah.
Never do that. Never do that. So they go, nope. And I'm like, well, this is the number they told me to call. You guys do the radio. You do the radio rolling things. You set up the radio interviews. Yep, that's what we do. And there's no Allison. Allison? Allison?
Wow.
No, there is not. No, there's not. So I said, A-L-I-S-Y-N? No. Well, the reason she said no at that point is because she was on what I like to refer to as the no roll that we have in this fucking horrible society
right.
we've crafted. Like, once you get three no's on your belt, you're on a fucking roll, man. You're fucking
hot streak.
Oh,
hot
you can
no
hear like
streak.
Sinatra playing behind you, Luck Be a Lady Tonight. You know, Scorsese's filming the dice.
She's blowing into
the
her
no
hand.
Roll. Ooh, oh, I'm hot. Guys cheering around her. No roll. No roll. No roll.
Not paying any attention.
Yeah, at that point, I've got three good no's under my belt, and I'm going for fucking four, man.
Right.
So I'm like, A-L-I-S-Y-N? Nope.
Oh, God.
All right. Hang up the phone. Now I'm just driving along. It's like 6:08 in the morning, and I'm like, it's fucking dark outside. I'm tired. I'm fucking went to bed late last night. I packed all my fucking race gear and everything. It got all wet and got all mildewy and fucked up like I told you before. And we're driving along, and I'm like, all right, so what do I got? 2 hours of shows lined up for me to talk to. I got this phone number. It's I'm getting through to the place that does it, but I can't find the chick who's the contact name. God forbid you put a last name on there so we could cut through this. Yeah, I'm on my no roll, baby. No be a lady. Yeah, going. Keep it going.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with.
No.
Be a lady with me.
No.
It's like Brian gets a big bug. Come on.
No. No.
A lady doesn't leave her escort.
No.
It isn't fair.
No.
I want to know your percentages of the fourth no versus the first no. Because the first no is a coin toss. The fourth no is 90-10. Like, hey, can I fill my mouth with cougarons, spit them in your underpants, and then suck you off? No. I don't think so. Not today. Not on my watch. No. I would like to pay for your kids' college. Could I do that? Would that be okay? I'd like to pay them full fare to go to college. Yes, your triplets. I'd like to pay for them. No, can't do that. Not going to happen.
I got a sack of money here.
No. Not going
to
happen.
Drop off somewhere.
I would like to stretch you so that you were 2 inches taller, and I'd like to remove 10 years from your age. Could I do that? No.
No.
Not on the fourth one. No. So I called back. And I said, hey, listen, it's me again. Alison. Is there a person there with that spelling of their name? And she was like, oh, yeah, of course. Because I'd given it a break. I broke up the nose. Again, I always want to know, whether it's trying to get on the lot or calling the person up, do you think I'm just some maniac who gets up at 5:45 in the morning and calls places that and tells them I have a radio tour to do and then comes up with names that are sort of like coworkers and then keeps asking? Right, that's how I got my fucking Lamborghini. That's how I got all my cars. I've amassed a fucking fortune by just setting my alarm and wasting my time mispronouncing fucking idiots' names in the morning. So then I called back. But by the way, you know when you take the dumbest person, and really this is what a lot of these businesses do. She had that kind of blockheaded kind of, she was born here, but her parents were born in Mexico kind of thing. And she had that fucking thing where you take the dumbest person, you take the dumbest person that works for your 500 person company and you make them the tip of the spear. Like that's the person who picks
the
up the
face
phone.
Of the company.
Nobody gets past me to get to the boss or get to anything. They all have to get past this fucking lump head. So I called up and then I spell it out. I said, Alison. And she goes, oh, yeah, Allison, let me ring her desk. And then she rings the desk, but of course, Allison's not at the desk. But now I'm not so sure. Is it Allison still? Do you have another Allison? Is there an Allison that spells her name normally? Again, why would you include a last name in this mix of 23 fucking radio stations I have to call? So that's insane. So, all right, not going to happen. I call back again. She puts me through to the desk again. And then I notice at the bottom of the page, there's like an emergency number. So I call that number, and that's Allison's. That's her cell phone.
Oh.
And she picks up the phone. And I said, I called the other number, and it was, and I went over the number. Now I have to go over the number with her, and the last digit should have been a 9, but it was a 7. Oh. Because who the fuck can remember all these digits these days? So, of course, the number I called, it was one digit off, but it was the last digit, and it still got you through to the company, but the wrong desk.
Extension,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So the last digit off made for wild confusion, because first digit off means you're not talking to anybody. You just get some guy with a crazy accent, doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about. Last digit means confusion. Like, yeah, this is the company, but I don't know what you're talking about. So I got Allison on her cell phone, and I said, yeah, I got hold of the desk, and she kept ringing your desk, and then, of course, she gave the, she probably should have just called me. Like, of course, that's the person at the front desk hoping I'll just have a fucking heart attack and just go. This whole thing of, why do you want me to go away so badly? What are you doing? Are you in the middle
of
a fucking online Connect Four tournament and I've just fucking rang your phone and you're like right in the middle of a move? Like, what is going on at that desk? Who's eating your pussy, bitch? What's going on that you can't fucking try to help? You know what I mean? Like, huh, you want to talk to someone named Allison? Let me get her cell phone out. I mean, evidently, it's 6 a.m, you're doing a radio. We do radio tours here. It's not the kind of thing where I'm just fucking sitting at a pizza parlor and you're making a prank phone call or something.
Plus, aren't they hired? Like, didn't someone hire them to do this?
Yes, so, but the person at the desk gets $8 an hour, and her dream is for the phone never to ring.
Yeah.
And then if the phone does ring, she's got to do whatever small lateral move she can do just to get you to get the fucking go away. Just get you to go away. That's her greatest goal in life is to get you to go away and not call back. Not to get you hooked up with the 23 radio stations you're supposed to talk to or Allison, just to get you to go away. And if she can do it on a technicality, that's fine. She's going to ring Allison's desk, even though we all know Allison is not sitting at her desk at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
But that's all right. I'll ring her desk. Because that way I can say I rang your desk. And it's basically, I'll ring her desk means fuck off in about 18 seconds. So she gave the thing to me, which is, well, why didn't she call me? She should have called. And I was like, because everyone's fucking horrible at their job. They're horrible at their job. And nobody gets fired. No one gets yelled at. And she did give a little, I'm going to talk to her. Because I'm like, yeah, fucking yell at her, would you? And just for the next fucking poor schlub whose publicist gave him the fucking wrong phone number. Anyway, I didn't know where to begin with the Allison and the Allison, and I just realized, look, I've said it 250 times. When you're sending me an email, and the person's name is Allison, just write it as Allison. Yeah. It has to be a word.
That's
it has to be a fucking word.
That's the bottom line to all this. This all could have been avoided if they're just, this is not for Allison.
I'm not printing up jerseys. Yeah,
this is not for her. This is
for me. I just want to ask. And then you know the answer you're going to get? That's how she spells it. Yeah, I know. I know it's how she spells it.
Well, did you give Allison any shit for the way she spells her name? Which, as someone who gets shit for the way I spell my name, it's never the person's fault. It's their parents' fault.
At that point, we were 18 minutes into the two-hour thing. And then number two came around, which is I did my first radio call, and all we did was talk about Celebrity Apprentice. And then in between calls, I said to Allison, I'm plugging my ebook, Rich Man, Poor Man. And she said, I don't have anything on that.
Oh.
And I was like, all right, I wanted to grab the wheel out of Matt's hand and just steer into oncoming traffic. But all I ever said to Matt and Jeff the whole time is, I go, you want this? Is this what you want? Do you want to get rich? Is this what you want? Because this will be your life. We get up at fucking 6 a.m. talking to Allison about nothing. This is what you want. Don't ever. I say to fucking my assistant, Jay, every 10 seconds, don't ever make a fucking penny. Don't ever do it. You'll be punished. You'll be fucking ritualistically punished every second. I said to Jeff and Matt, this is what you want. This is what you want, right? She had no idea what I was talking about. The whole idea was I was supposed to do a promotional tour for the ebook, Rich Man, Poor Man. Allison had no idea what I was talking about, had no information what I was talking about, had already forwarded all the information days before to all the radio stations about Celebrity Apprentice, which is in a month or more, and I don't care about it. And I already did that promotional tour last Friday.
Cheer up and be excited. The name.
Oh, thank God we stopped at the Madonna Inn for some breakfast, too. Welcome to my goddamn world, everybody. And I know, everyone thinks I'm retarded. What, they go, oh, Allison. But I'm telling you, in a world where everyone has a fucked up name and you're looking at it, it doesn't mean... Allison, to me, I've only seen it spelled one way. And that's, how do you spell it?
A-L-B-Q.
Yeah, right.
Silent.
I've never seen the Y in front of the N on the Allison.
Yeah.
That's me. And again, there's like bunches of little things that always drive me nuts. Like I tell somebody, like it says 9 a.m. and then it says Eastern time. It's like, I was like, just put 6 a.m. Put my time, put the person's name the way they the way I would read it, the way it would be read, the way it would be pronounced by normal fucking Americans if they're trying to reach the person on the phone, not making a card out to them. I just want to get them on the phone. And then, of course, a little thing about having the right phone number to be. It's always a plus. Always a plus. So, anyway, that's me. That was mine. All right, what do you got? What do you got, Dr. Bruce? You got something?
Something.
No, I'm angry now.
I have a wealth of information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where should we start?
Ace Broadcasting presents Health Watch with Dr. Spaz.
Hey, guys in the other room, can you go look at, I think they had the Miss America pageant on like Friday. I just flipped it on. I just flipped on Miss America just for a second. And they were doing the thing where they tell them where they're from and like, Alabama, home of the Crimson Tide. You know, they do that thing.
Yeah.
I swear to God, the one chick was from like North Carolina or something. And she said like, we invented miniature golf. And the next chick was, I swear to God, I just turned on for 10 seconds. I just turned the TV on. It was on that show. And she's like, hi, I'm from North Carolina, home of miniature golf. Like, we invented miniature golf. And then the next, and the ultimate, don't be a one-upper, the next chick who got up there was from, Florida, Cape Canaveral or something. And it was, we put a man on the moon. Like, it was like literally what from we invented miniature golf to we put a man on the moon.
Like, don't that, be a one-upper. I mean,
it was the
old,
there wasn't one in between. There was not one in between miniature right. golf and we put a man on the moon.
Which has affected your life more.
I'll try to find it.
Think about that.
And that was an Isaac Hayes mashup. To Luck Be Elated Tonight and a little bit of Allison. Confusion.
There's nobody who works there who's named Allison.
Well, what I was saying before the clip started was Brian playing those Isaac Hayes drops was my first real understanding of the drops in the show, and Adam improvising and doing a little more of a long-form improv with a character that wasn't even physically there.
And yeah, how would you explain that to somebody who's new? I just realized that. Yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah, it was so odd, but I just remember laughing so much. It's and those drops are so good. Brian is very quick with the responses, and this is off of his 360 machine. So he usually uses two machines to play his drops, a laptop and an Instant Replay 360. The Replay 360 is actually, I think, a little harder to navigate because you have to scroll to each drop and press play. But Brian plays it like he's a virtuoso of an instrument. So he's able to get to all of those drops really quickly. And it comes off perfectly comedically.
I agree 100%. It's so weird that to think if you didn't know the Isaac Hayes interview, and you're like, these people are just obsessed with Isaac Hayes. They only have four drops. What is this? But there's a story.
Yeah, and now there's some of my favorite set of drops. Let's Very get cool. going with another clip. We're going to jump forward in time to 2017, and we'll hear some news from Gina.
Adam Carolla Show 2089 featuring Ben Sasse, I believe he's a senator, congressman of some kind, Paul Tollett, Nick Adler. They're the guys who did Coachella. And this is from later in the episode. This is Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. Gina's news, reality winner, who was in the news for the info leak back in 2017. And the emotional support dog attack mid-flight. Two solid news stories. Check it out.
All right, Gina Grad, what do you got for news?
Let's do some news.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Adam, you've been warning us for a while, and it finally happened. A Marine veteran's emotional support dog mauled a passenger on a Delta flight Sunday. That's according to the Daily Mail. A police report said the victim, Marlon Termaine Jackson of Daphne, Alabama, was sitting on a flight from Atlanta to San Diego when it happened. A witness said the victim was sitting by the window, and the dog's owner, Ronald Kevin Mundy Jr., was sitting in the middle seat with his dog, described as a chocolate lab pointer mix. He was sitting with the dog on his lap. Now,
it's not known what caused the dog to attack, but the witness said Jackson had been mauled. A witness went on to say, quote, you could hear a dog growling and a bark, and someone screamed. They screamed, I need help. There's a medical emergency. The area was completely covered in blood. They came in and sanitized the area. They replaced the seats. A police report said the victim was in stable condition, but severe injuries to the face due to several dog bites. He was rushed off the plane for medical attention. Now, Delta's website says that trained service dogs are allowed to be in the cabin with humans and a kennel is not required. The dog was secured inside of a carrier and taken off the plane and given to Mundy. Delta said the dog and its owner were given another flight. An unnamed witness also said Mundy, the veteran with the dog, was seen in the gate area cradling the dog in his arms and crying, saying, I know they're going to put him down. So it's finally
happening. Hoping this would just be the bitch with too much plastic surgery who had to travel with her dog sushi or truffle or whatever.
And ironically, it's the guy who actually needs the service
dog. Actual emotional support animal.
Right. Although I'm still going to say I'm not sure that actual support, emotional support animals exist. I do know you feel better when you're with your pet versus at the dentist. Let's say, and then maybe if your dog sat on you while you're at the dentist, you'd feel better. And I understand there is real, actual people have mental issues. I'm not saying that. And then look, I'm not saying this doesn't help, but the question is, there are people who feel better when they're masturbating. I'm one of them. Gary, right hand, right in the air. And, sadly, I was going to say, but you don't do it on a plane, but Gary, fuck that trend some years ago. Going, he got the pod, though. It's not a weirdo.
It's
but
totally
the point is this.
He was flying to Coachella.
You could definitely feel much. It's a great stress relief for me to masturbate.
And go I'm nervous. On.
Now we all know.
And I'm nervous about flying. So how dare you judge me? And your young child? Avert your gaze.
Please stop your dog from growling.
Yes. But I think we can all agree that maybe not a good time.
It'd be awesome if you didn't.
Right. And then there's many things that people do that we go, okay, I understand that helps you and that's what you like. Or sometimes it's very, I love super loud rap music or something. Right. But you can't blare it. It affects everyone else on the plane. So we need this balance. And the balance to me always goes to this isn't across the board, but the majority shall win. If the majority of the people are flying on this plane and they don't have a dog and they don't want to fly with a dog or they're worried about the dog defecating, there shall be no dogs on planes. Now, for you who have this issue, we shall seek alternative answers for you. A Xanax and a shot of Jägermeister. I don't know. Let's see what we can do to not have you travel with your full size dog that then bites people's faces off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I read that the military had issued this dog to the guy, like it was part of, I'm guessing, a PTSD recovery thing. That's where my mind went, which is terrible because now if it leads to dogs, not these actual service dogs, like people who need these service dogs not being allowed on planes, it's sad that it was caused by the guy who does need it, not by Adam's aforementioned woman with the schnauzer.
I agree with me. Yeah. But... also,
and if dogs on planes weren't a ubiquitous thing, we would be thinking right now, oh man, that's horrible. I hope it never happens again. Versus, well, I guess now something has to be done about all these dogs on planes.
Well, it does, and I also think, it's a little bit of a slippery slope when you issue emotional support anything, or once anything becomes emotional support, which is whoever you are, whatever you need, I need this emotionally. Okay, so what you need is you need therapy and you need rehab and you need classical music and you need walks and you need meditation and you need yoga and you need a little Tom Petty with a perm.
Yeah.
When you see a picture of that, everyone's in an amazing mood. But you do need all these things. When we give you a dog and go, this is your salvation, well, a couple things. You can't go anywhere without this dog now because you put all your eggs into this dog basket. And look, this guy's an extreme example. I'm not really here. I'm not worried about veterans with battle fatigue who are issued dogs from the military. Like that's 1%. But what I'm saying is in general, when you go, this dog, well, after you do a few, you become dependent on the dog.
Dumbo's feather.
Right. And by the time you've done this, once you fly three times with your emotional support dog, you can't fly a fourth time without it. What I'm saying is, I don't know if bring an animal with you everywhere is what exactly we're talking about. What happens in the boardroom or what happens when you get in a stressful situation? Like, where's the dog? Where do we get the dog? Like, I would like to sort of see if we could wean people off of carrying around pets everywhere to calm their nerves and get them onto other forms of therapy.
Well, and every single thing you named before the dog is everything I've utilized to be able to do live shows all over the country with you.
And no dog.
And no dog.
I love that about you.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get a fidget spinner, though.
Yeah.
Well, a 25-year-old federal contractor is accused of leaking classified information regarding a 2016 Russian military intelligence cyber attack to an online news outlet. This, according to CNN. The Justice Department announced charges on Monday against Reality Winner. That's her name.
Wow.
Reality Winner.
Hold on.
Name?
Reality Lee Winner is her full name.
Take that, black people. We can go crazy with the names, too. This chick's white as a ghost.
Yeah. Reality Winner. Mm-hmm. She's a federal contractor with top secret security clearance with Pluribus International Corporation in Georgia. She's accused of removing classified material from a government facility and mailing it to a news outlet. That's according to the federal complaint. The NSA report, this is dated May 5th, provides details of a 2016 Russian cyber attack on a U.S. voting software supplier, though there's no evidence that any votes were affected by this hack. Prosecutors say when confronted with the allegations, Reality Winner admitted to intentionally leaking the classified document. She was arrested on June 3rd in Georgia. She faces up to 10 years in prison for leaking the classified docs.
I think we got to throw our parents in the brig as well. I feel the same every time when they get it. Jesse James Ferguson went on a shooting rampage. Like, who named him Jesse James? And how do we punish these people? And if you just named him Stewart, we probably could have avoided this mess. You gave him the outlaw name.
Yeah.
And now he's out living up to his outlaw name.
Oh, John Wayne Bobbitt was beating on his wife. Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
John Wayne.
John Wayne. That's right.
Was he a wife beater?
No, but he was the alpha male. He was in the movies. He was the dude, you know.
Yeah, he didn't mess with him.
Aspire to.
Broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. You know what I like? There's one thing you have to admire about John Wayne Bobbitt.
What's that one thing, Adam?
He beat on his first old lady. He got his dick cut off. Then he hooked up with the second old lady, and he beat on her, too.
What are the chances
of that? The perseverance.
My feeling is, once you cut my dick off, I'm out. And whatever the activity was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I go out and get froyo,
and end up with your...
my dick cut off, guess who's not eating froyo anymore? It's not on the menu.
It's not on the menu. Not me!
This guy was not thwarted by having his cock removed.
That's a real commitment.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
that's
a hero. Yeah, you know, I don't condone what he did,
no,
but in terms of grit,
stick to it. Come
by it.
You know, a lot of people talk about Rocky Blyer like he's a hero because he went to Vietnam and he stepped on like a landmine and he blew his foot up and he still tried out and started for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
But still not as good as John Wayne Bobbitt. Gary, you got to get the news on John Wayne. I am telling you.
We believe you.
he abused more women after getting his dick cut off.
Yeah, some would call him a psychopath, but some would call him a hero.
Yeah, okay. That is.
Do we think?
That's a commitment.
And that was the news from June 2017. Now, we know Adam has a few thoughts on emotional support dogs.
And Reality Winner.
Yeah.
He loves the naming. He's like, blame the parents. He always blames the parents. If you give your kid a weird name and they do something objectionable or questionable, or they might be facing some sort of punishment, you're going to go to jail with them.
And may I suggest, as far as emotional support animals go, Adam has a new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All-Woke, No-Joke Culture. It's available now on Amazon. And this is the time to get Christmas gifts, everybody. Get ahead of it and get that book to the people you love.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's a great book. All right, let's get going with the next clip. What do we got, Gio?
This is Adam Carolla Show 1476. It's David Wilde, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. It's from December of 2014. It's during their Dropping Names with David Wilde segment, which was just basically the normal segment with David Wilde, but they now had an intro from Dick Banks, hilarious intro. And this portion is just them having a funny exchange about bathroom etiquette inspired by a collar. Kind of what you and your wife or a significant other do when you're trying to get ready for a wedding and trying to get out of that hotel room. Check it out.
Here we go.
Yeah, we're sitting here with David Wild. Not much taller than a 10-year-old child. Not the best looking guy in the place. Gallagher's hair, DeVito's face, makes his pages for the Rolling Stone. A brilliant writer, the evidence
Brad
shows.
Pitt didn't rhyme, so they used to be.
Writing books is also part of his game. If you hear a loud thud, he's just dropping names. Yeah, we're sitting here with David Wild.
Yeah, all right, Mark. Sorry, bathroom etiquette.
I have a very particular question, a situation that I love for you, Brian Allison, and also David to answer. Here's a simple situation.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in after your spouse has dropped the deuce, and you're completely offended by the smell. Mm-hmm. How many days should both you and your spouse allow to pass before you should forget it up and then you should have sex again? Because I've had to let many days pass. Or do you suck it up and do you have sex that same day?
Days?
I'm not. You probably shouldn't equate the bathroom with the bedroom, you know. So I feel like it's a very slippery bowl there. You can't take that what you've smelled in the bathroom into the bedroom, and there shouldn't be a punitive part of her taking a shit.
That's a side monkey.
Are you just turned off?
Yeah, completely. For days.
Yeah, well, there's a certain kind of I don't know if you guys are this way, but there's like a certain kind of a timing and a kind of a, hey, when the door's closed, maybe use the bathroom in the entry hall or something like that.
Well, they have one bathroom.
It's one and one only?
Well, we have three here, but we both typically use one, so that's the problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is your asshole capable?
Spread your shit out literally.
Yes. Johnny Apple shit.
I think men and women should not share. I've never shared with my wife. She uses our one in our bedroom, and I would share with my boys, and that works out very well.
When you first got together, moved in together, you had multiple bathrooms?
Yes.
Good for you.
Well, in this day and age, even smallish apartments will usually have something.
We shared a bathroom for the first, whatever, year and a half we lived together in Christie's apartment.
Yeah, I guess I've had that. I've had that situation.
And in that case,
multiple times,
shitting in full view has to happen sometimes.
I would be willing to share a bathroom with Lynette,
but you don't have to beat off to it.
Don't
That's
have
what
to.
I'm saying. That's what
you
I'm saying.
When you say full view, do you mean doors open?
If makeup must be applied and poop must be dropped.
Wow.
If the wedding must be attended.
It. Wow. All right, I'm saying...
You can just put your makeup on in the other room, Brian.
I keep telling Chrissy that.
Put your kissing potion on in the car.
She's like, no, stay.
While Chrissy's driving, you use the sun visor with the mirror in it.
That's what I keep telling
side.
Her, but she tells me that's how I know we're connected.
All right. I would say here's one of my building code rules. If you are making a home or an apartment... And that home or apartment only has one bathroom. You must have a high volume fart fan in that bathroom. And when I say volume, I mean a lot of CFM. I want to see some air moved. Like when you kick that thing on, I want to see women with clamp on earrings having them move toward the ceiling.
I want to see lobes moved.
Lobes moving and hair going up. Well, everyone's going to look like a racer head in there. Not only
it's like that Marilyn Manson photo.
Yeah. Not only high.
I mean, Marilyn Monroe.
Monroe.
I wish I never opened my
skirt,
mouth.
Yeah, the skirt blowing up. High volume. But I mean volume sound. I love that. Don't we all love hiding under that blanket of white noise that's going on while the brown noise is coming out of our assholes?
Early in my career here, I ate asparagus and then used the bathroom here where there's the crazy loud fan.
Love
Couldn't
it.
Even
Adam,
tell.
Don't make it about love race. It.
I am.
Everything with you.
I can't help it. It's the times we're living in. What I'm saying is I want that thing to pull so hard everyone raises their hands.
Yep.
That's what I'm
Involuntarily.
Saying. Hands up. Can't even help it. Right out of the pockets. I want volume out of that. Like in a world where we're going, this is the quietest washer dryer Maytag is there. I want the loudest fart fan,
the loudest fan
that anyone's ever come up with.
You know, one of those fans that when you walk into the grocery store, it blasts you from above.
Yeah.
Those crazy fans.
Those are the fans that don't let the flies.
Do you want one of those?
Right, so you can just fart with impunity.
That's exactly
you
right.
You don't have to do that.
Just give me,
thing.
Just give me, you know what? Do what I do. Put a playing card in it. Like the spokes of a bicycle.
Oh, like so it flaps?
Yeah. It's a great sound.
I had,
entertains the
I
kids.
I had the worst bathroom experience of my life. I know that's interesting to everybody. Mm-hmm. I took
I'm
the,
all ears.
I did a 4 a.m. wake-up call, a 6 a.m. flight to, from Nashville to here. And I was in first class of American, which you think would be the room you could get around. But the guy next to me was 6'7" and fell asleep the first second. I didn't want to bother him. So when the plane landed 4 hours later.
You couldn't get up and get around him.
Yes. And I didn't right. want to wake him up.
I understood.
So trying to be polite. But that meant when I got out at LAX, I had to use a restroom pretty quickly.
Right.
And I literally walked into the restroom at LAX and it was – I've seen footage of Dachau that was less upsetting than at LAX. Public restroom at every single toilet was a – hellish
shit show
beyond belief. And I was like, how can this be like one of the great airports of the world, one of the major cities of the world, and people, you know, live like that? And that it was just
you guys,
it was not the birthday gift I was looking for.
I have a great very story. Yeah, look, I have a strong theory about this, which I've shared on the show more than once, which mm-hmm. is I believe the greatest damage takes place at the airport bathroom because it's not your home turf.
Yep.
You're not going to run in anyone you work with. There's no
I don't even aim for the bowl.
Yeah. You're lucky.
Hey, it just goes where it goes.
No, there's something.
Like gravity do the work.
I started noticing that, like, when you walk into the bathroom at the ballpark, it's not that bad.
No.
But, yeah. And you realize, well, everyone at Dodger Stadium is
wants to be
in
there.
Dodger Stadium. It's not about wanting to be there. It's about... This is your neighborhood. Mm. You live here. You may very well see somebody you know or recognize, or you're going to be walking back to your seat with this person. Mm. There's this free-for-all that goes on, like a rental car, yep. where you go, this isn't mine. I'm from Minneapolis.
You shit in your rental cars?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I'm going to shit wherever. I can do whatever I want in this bathroom because I'm here on a layover.
The Dodger Stadium bathrooms smell better than the Dodger dogs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's one thing your people, my people share that. So, yes, the bathroom at the airport is the worst bathroom you will find always. There's got to be some combination of, you know, weird travel diet mixed with maybe a little too much beer or booze on the plane.
Up and down, the pressurized on the belly.
There's a perfect storm of shit that goes on in that bathroom, but it's always,
storm.
Always bad. And when I'm in charge, the single family dwellings with the one bathroom will have the high CFM super loud fart fan installed, and all airport bathrooms, we will double down on these bad boys way more than the ballpark or the opera house or anything else needs.
My concern with the one bathroom is what happens in that twice a year emergency where both people really need to use it at the same time, or God forbid some animal in your house clogs it.
Mm-hmm.
Then everyone's shit out of luck.
Well,
literally.
The problem is there's, I don't know, I think the first five apartments I lived in had a one bathroom
yeah.
situation. And I lived there with girlfriends and roommates. And
it was never
you acclimate, but then once you have more, you're like, I don't want to go back.
Yeah. Oh, no, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, no. Can't imagine.
No.
And that funny exchange was with David Wild. He was a contributor to the Rolling Stone. He brought in all of our great musical guests. He ghost wrote, I guess that's the word, a lot of books for very, very famous musicians. And
anytime you see LL Cool J reading prompter, David Wild's by his side.
Very true. Yeah, he did all the music award shows, and but specialty dropping some names.
Actually, David would probably more likely be under the podium.
Very true. He's very involved. If you look at his social media, you can see that yourself. All right, we have one more clip for everybody. We're going to go back.
I think that was time. The episode, by the way, Chris. I think it's the episode earlier in it that Adam mixes up Matt Atchity and David Wilde for a moment.
Oh. Because
he was talking about, like, Rotten Tomatoes, and, like, it seems like he was almost referring. Fans debate. They're not sure if Adam, for, like, a moment, forgot who he was.
It's happened. It's okay. We had a lot of regulars at the time. Now let's go back in time.
Is this the overweight music guy or the overweight movie guy?
See, look how close they are, even you just saying that. Although Matt actually lost a ton of weight.
I did, indeed.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to 2010.
Wait, David Wilde lost a lot of weight, too, though.
He did. He did. I remember when he was here, he took a lot of long walks, and that helped him.
Well, nobody ever sings the praises of Adam. Like, yeah, we started coming on Adam's show, and I actually lost 100 pounds the first year.
Very true, yeah.
It's weird how that happens.
If anybody needs to lose some LBs, just be a regular on our show.
100-plus appearances on the Adam Carolla show, you'll lose that weight.
It's not stress, though, right?
No, I don't know what it is. We got to study this.
It's true. We need to look at some data. All right. Uh-huh. Let's go with our next clip. What do we got?
This is from Adam Carolla show number 354. So this is 22 episodes after they switched formats. Originally, the show was, of course, one-on-one episodes, and once a week, Teresa and Brian would show up to recreate the format of the radio show. This is 22 episodes in after they switched. We got Missy Suicide, Teresa Strasser, and Brian Bishop. It's from July of 2010. This aired the day after 4th of July. We get Teresa's News. We get another mashup. This time it's Adam's dad with some Dionne Warwick. We get some interview with Missy, which is fairly interesting. But it slides right into a made-up movie. And Adam goes off on the use of the song Lowrider. It's hilarious. Check it out.
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is The News with Teresa Strasser.
A 66-year-old Indian woman has become the oldest person in the world to give birth to triplets after IVF treatment at a controversial center.
Yeah.
But Terry Debby...
Brian and I are going to beat that in a few years. We're both just waiting, just biding our time.
...gave birth to two boys and a girl who are now being treated in intensive care after being born underweight. Mm-hmm. She received IVF treatment at the National Fertility Center, where the world's oldest mother, Rajo Debby Lohan, was also treated. Mrs. Lohan, 72, gave birth 18 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And now, by the way, she's revealed she's dying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, here's how you know you're too old to have kids. When it's time to breastfeed and your kid's like, yuck.
They learn how to speak incredibly early just to tell you it's gross. Your baby's gross. Mm. Ugh, dreck. No.
Somebody give me...
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Got any formula? I'm fine with that.
I drink out of carton. You got any of what they call that, pet milk?
That's fine, too.
Can opener?
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Got some Ensure. I know that's usually for old people.
How about that evaporated milk? I don't know why we have to evaporate it, but let's evaporate some, and I'll go ahead and eat some of that. She's 72.
Yeah, so a 66-year-old woman had triplets.
Right.
And she's got the record for triplets. Yeah, she's got the record. But at this same center that treated her, treated this woman, Mrs. Lohan, she gave birth 18 months ago, and she's revealed that she's
72.
Dying.
72. Yeah, Brian and I are going after that record, too. A few years. Just wait, my pretty. Just wait. Yeah.
And now she's angry at the center for not explaining the risks to women about having babies later in life.
Really?
She's dying. I guess they fuck around with your hormones. Probably not that great for you when you're 70.
Well, okay, hold on a second. By the way, we're looking at a picture of this woman. She does not look happy about these triplets at all. Although I do think there's people from other countries. You guys tell me if I'm onto something here. We learned at some point in this country's history that it's good to smile for the camera.
Yeah.
Like the earliest efforts were not, nobody was having a party. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, everyone looks bummed out, but they just didn't smile for photos. I think maybe the exposure was longer.
Exposure's longer, and the bad teeth didn't help either. But even when they got that stuff worked out, like shit from our grandparents, you know, from back in the day, you know, Philadelphia up on the roof at the wedding, you know, 1957. Grandma Carolla was not the life of the fucking party. She always looked pissed off. I mean, there was never any woohoo or yeah, or, you know, how about a winger? You know what I mean? Come on, Grandma.
A winger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get the shirt up.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Your grandma to flash?
Well, not my grandma, but she's got friends. I'm saying she was 29. You know what
at
I mean?
At the time, yeah. She wasn't a grandma.
A fucking smile on your goddamn face.
Right. Have a good time. Live it
Let's
up.
Party. So all I'm saying is this. We, at a certain point, somebody realized, come on, live it up a little bit.
Yeah, don't look dour.
Somewhere in the 60s, someone went, take a picture, smile on your face, live it up, right?
Right.
All right. I say, in a lot of countries around the world, I don't think they've quite got that message. Guys try to look really serious. Chicks look kind of put off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She looks pissed that she's having these kids.
Maybe they think we look cheesy because we're always smiling, these big smiles with our big white teeth.
I think they think that we're fools. You know what I mean? Like, I think guys, especially, it's the guys with the beards. You know, males try to look like males, and the adults try to look like adults.
Oh, not a George Jetson beard. A beard.
Yeah, real beard. No, what I'm saying is, they have guys, like, we have guys like Mark Cuban looks like a 19-year-old frat boy. He's a millionaire adult who owns a professional franchise and a jet, but yet he's wearing, like, cargo shorts and, you know, he's wearing short-sleeve shirts. He's laughing up. In other countries, he would look like a guy who had money, right? Anyway, when he took pictures, he'd have a serious look on his face.
Right.
You know, our sort of these guys that these sort of captains of industry back in the day, you know, they just had a very serious, like, I'm a rich guy. I have a rich guy look. I have a rich guy mustache. I have a rich guy top hat. Now we have Old Navy and guys yucking it up. That's all I'm saying. I think they're a little more throwback that way. Maybe they're right.
That's the way we should be
carrying ourselves. You think our sons are going to see a bunch of pictures of us looking like jack-offs when they're older?
No, they don't want to see. Or do they want to see their moms giving the winger?
Right.
Nobody
wants that. My point. That's my point. They don't want to see some bar at Lake Havasu with mom like, aah! Doing a jello shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to imagine that your mom was wholesome.
Yeah.
And a virgin. Mm-hmm. So she conceived you.
It's just not even that part, but even, I mean, yes, that part, but also just a part where your mom's out partying. Like, how are you supposed to tell your kid, oh, hey, put that beer down when I got pictures of you doing jello shots in Havasu?
Yeah. Tell me more about how I shouldn't drink.
Right, right. So, anyway, yeah. Mom's looking pretty dour.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be a tough experience carrying triplets at 66.
All right, but they're out now.
They're out now.
Laugh it up, bitch. That's all I'm saying. And then the other one thinks she's dying because?
Yeah, she thinks she's dying because of her fertility treatment.
Because they had to, like, stimulate her and get an egg out of her
or something?
I'm
just guessing that they
induce something?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
No free lunches in nature, Dr. Drew would say.
It's true, you're going to pay later if you start messing around with your hormones. I mean, even the birth control pill, which I'd been on it really my whole adult life, and when I went off of it to get pregnant, I thought, wow, life's totally different off that.
Yeah.
Like, you are paying. Mm-hmm. You're paying for your awesome birth control.
Well, let me ask this.
In sexual pleasure, I might add.
Try to figure this
out. Go off the pill. It's a lot more fun.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah. I had no idea.
Adam, I got off the pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Get your wives off the pill.
Can I say this? The gal here who's 72, don't you, you still got eggs at 72? They just stopped dropping? Like, what's up?
God, I mean, maybe if they give you a bunch of hormones, they can get one to drop, or maybe they go in and get one, or maybe they implant one for somebody else's egg.
I think that's what they do.
They got to use another donor egg.
Your eggs are powdered, like military food by then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sea ration in your sea.
Yeah.
Heavy. That's why I get the big bucks. Yeah. So they must have implanted an egg in her. There's no way she got one of her original eggs.
Yeah, the story doesn't go into detail about how they got this woman pregnant.
All right. But should they
But obviously they went to extreme measures.
Right. They shouldn't be monkeying.
Look, monkey around when somebody's 45, but maybe not 65.
Right. Or 72.
Yeah, or say, so, yeah, I think she was 70 when she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, who knows? Maybe this woman had a history of breast cancer or a certain kind of things that aren't helped by monkeying around with the hormones?
Look, it's all this Lyle Alzado bullshit, which is steroids gave him brain cancer and killed him. Meanwhile, Bonaducci's doing mornings in Philly. Do you know what I mean? Like, come on. If every guy who juiced in the 70s, Schwarzenegger would be dead 10 times over, right?
Yeah, well, it's easy to mistake causality or correlation for causality.
Yes.
You know, like these two things might have both happened, but one didn't cause the other.
Yes. You'll be glad to know that, Brian, I use you as an example of a man who's lived an exemplary lifestyle and has a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lucky me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I mean is you know, you didn't sleep in a microwave or chain smoke.
Right, there's really nothing to point to.
There's nothing to point to.
You didn't live near Three Mile Island.
But as adults, and as like superstitious adults, and especially as atheist adults, because this is our God, we're like, too much processed food, perhaps? Would you eat out of plastic? What'd you do?
Oh,
you
did something. Yeah, the plastic. Yeah, BPA. That was it. Did you drink a lot of bottled water?
Yeah. Yep, so
yeah.
Your fault.
Your mom gave you hot dogs and stuff, American cheese?
Didn't breastfeed you?
Yeah. Oh, it was breastfeeding.
Must have been that.
That was it.
Soda? Drink soda before?
All the time.
Okay. You didn't smoke, but did you ever know anyone who smoked?
I knew people who smoked.
Okay.
You hung out with them? You have a roommate who smoked?
Yeah, I have friends who smoke.
Oh, they smoke?
Yeah.
And you were there?
Yeah. I watched them. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you watch? Well, there you go. Yeah. See?
It's rough.
And there were times you didn't exercise that much.
Yeah, I felt lazy from time to time.
Yeah.
And see, all this is a fucking bullshit way for me to feel good about myself, like, well, I didn't live that life exactly. So now I can sleep because I don't have to think about this. See, the idea that this randomly could happen to anyone at any time, even if they led a healthy lifestyle, scares the shit out of me. So I got to do something. How long did you live in that apartment by the train tracks?
Too long.
Too long. Probably. Yeah, evidently.
That was it.
Evidently.
It was probably, was there like asbestos tiles or something?
Must have been.
In your school. Did you go to old school?
Well, you're very old. Yeah.
Old school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the heating. The heating. Yeah, the heating. Would they turn the heat on sometimes?
Ducts.
Yeah, come right through the ducts.
Smelled.
Yeah, see, I went out here in L.A. We didn't. It was always warm. So
yeah,
we didn't
open the window.
Fresh
air. Fresh air. Yeah, never drank calf wine. Yeah,
not having explanations for things and having the universe be random and chaotic is so unpleasant.
People the fuck out. And religious people can just go, you know, hey, God had a plan. But the atheists have to come up with something. And that is, well, fucking black mold.
Black mold. Obviously.
Yeah.
That's why you have a lot of allergies and asthma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find people. And then I'll do this bullshit witch hunt where I find people who lived in your old apartment. I go, you ever feel tired at night? Sometimes. Aha!
Stomach problems?
But black mold.
That's it.
There we go.
All right, obviously.
Now I'm going to publish a report.
Everyone in that building was affected.
Now I'm going to be on Oprah now. Move over, Jenny McCarthy. I got a theory too, bitch.
Is it half-cocked?
Yes, of course, of course, of course. It's just shit happens. Some kids are autistic, some kids aren't autistic. And I don't believe everything just moves in a perfectly linear fashion. When you look at it's like when a team goes 500, they don't win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. No, they lose 8 games in a row, and then they win 10, and then they lose 2 in a row, and then they win 5 in a row. It's totally random. At the end of the season, they're 500. So if you wanted to go back and look at autism or look at whatever you want to look at, there's probably going to be years where that shit's just on the move. And then there's going to be years where it goes down. It's not a graph that just, it's not everything is just perfect and laid out. I don't believe we have answers for everything.
Yeah, but even if you're completely, totally reasonable, if you had the choice to walk under the ladder or around it, wouldn't you just go around it just in case it was bad luck?
Baby, I'm the dude working on the ladder. Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Hold on, your menorah. And smoke it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to do things.
That's how we roll.
Okay.
You worked religion into this conversation, dude.
I did.
I'm just finishing what you started.
Always working it in. Well, here's a person who's probably not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Was involved in a crime, although it was at a library.
Mm.
We are the people of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an arrest description. Naked with stolen cheese. Daryl Bess, 52, was found standing completely nude in a bathroom at the Cincinnati Public Library.
Mm.
When police searched his bag, they found a 4-pound block of cheese that had allegedly been stolen from a local marketplace. He also had 2 knives, some DVDs that belonged to another library branch along with the cheese.
Well, I got to tell you, when you're living off, you're putting down like a couple of wheels a week. You're going to be backed up, and you're going to spend a lot of time in the public library bathroom, too. You know what I mean? That's double-edged sword, that wheel of cheese. You know what I'm saying?
Seems like a good idea. And you pay. There's no free lunch.
You got no bread. You got no no dipping anything. You got no crackers. Nothing to spread it around. You're not getting any. You're not getting any Triscuits or Wheat Thins. Push a little roughage through you. You really spend a lot of time on that commode in that bathroom of that Cincinnati library. You know.
But why was he naked?
Well, again, totally, you know, when you're, when your life is just about trying to shit out a cheese wheel, you don't got time for pants, sister.
And he had DVDs from another branch, so apparently he made the rounds.
Why
they
have DVDs now?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, Jesus, shit. Can't you get a DVD for 99 cents now? Like, what's up?
There are poor people.
I
just
know.
That's
I was always poor. And I listen, I, here's what I know. I know that... again, my drug addict theory. They're people that are homeless and they're on the streets and they have a $200 a day cocaine habit and they manage to feed it for 5 years. How do you feed a $200 a day habit when you're jobless and homeless and whatever? You fucking figure out a way.
Oh, there's nobody more hardworking than a junkie.
Nobody fucking works it like
God,
a junkie.
Oh, my God. They have hustle so hard.
That's right. That's right. So here's the thing. There's really... And the time, I'm telling you, because the Corollas, my dad famously would rent records from the library, check out records from the library.
My dad did that.
And just getting records. And here he is just, hey, I'm listening to a little buddy guy here. And it's like it's all scratched up. I mean, you could imagine that the books are barely in readable condition. Imagine something as delicate as a record. You know what I mean? This thing being passed around for 30 years because my dad... is getting like Stan Kenton from 1951, you know? So here it is, 1978. Well, that shit's been on the shelf for 30 years now. Holy shit, this thing, it's warped, it's skipping, it's a disaster. And here's what I would argue. The amount of effort involved with going, I'm going to the library, I'm parking the car, I'm going in, I'm finding the album, I'm going to check out, not the one I want, but one that's close enough. I wanted a little Dionne Warwick and I got the Fifth Dimension instead. Yeah, close enough. Take that, check it out, bring it back, go in the house, do it, and then have to bundle it back up and take it back in 2 weeks, otherwise we get charged a nickel. Could have just bought the fucking Dionne Warwick at that point. Yes, with the calories burnt? And then just what about what it does to your humanity? Hey, I'm a 41-year-old dude. I'm waiting in line with a bunch of school kids.
It's depressing.
You know you've arrived.
Ugh.
Oh, I'm surprised he wasn't being blown before he even made it to the parking lot. A lot of hot groupies wanting to be around a guy who's checking a record out. And what did a record cost back then? What's this thing cost? And you can't record it. It's not like my dad. Like, it'd be one thing if he had a plan. Like, you know what? I'm going to check out 10 records at a time. I got this 90-minute Maxell cassette thing.
Right.
I'm going to make something. I'm going to make the best of Stan Kenton and Dionne Warwick. And I'm going to have it. Then I'll return
this
it all.
This is a
one-time free-
thing. Yeah. I'll record it, and then I can listen to it anytime I want. I'll never have to go back to the library and rent it again.
Love this song.
She did have a great voice.
Great nostrils, great voice.
Song.
It is a good song.
Yeah, it's good.
Doing it with Barry?
Written by the Bee Gees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But isn't she's they're singing background, right?
Yeah, they did like the original demo and sold to her. And, like, and
you know, you've had a long career when this is one of your newer hits from 1986. You know what I mean? This is like, when she says now something from the new album, she goes 1986. All right, turn it up. We got to rock.
Yeah, because it's not Burt Bacharach.
Heartbreaker. Oh.
Too bad she had to go the psychic network route and kind of make a joke out of herself because she really, truly was a great singer.
Oh. I mean, do you know the way to San Jose? Obviously, she knew because she was working with a psychic.
Yeah, no, it's the true.
The original Garmin GPS.
Brian knows because he's from around there.
Oh, yeah.
Falsetto's a little pitchy here.
She's a...
I mean, Adam. Talking.
Oh, my. Yeah, she's a... She's. Oh, wait, here's where it gets very 80s there. It jumps... Like, it's sounding sort of a little timeless at some point, but it gets very 80s when this comes in. My dad knew what he was doing.
Yeah, this is good. stuff.
Cop tell you an apology.
Sorry about that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Mash it up with Pop's Corolla.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, hello? I was Pop one. Oh, yeah.
Jim and Jim.
All right, here's Rick O's 80s, right?
Yeah.
But she goes up an octave here. This is where she really kicks it. Mash it up with Dad again.
That was Pop one.
Your dad knows this when you come in.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, hello?
I swear to God, I think I was driving home from Vegas after my girlfriend dumped me, and I was listening to this song, and like tears pouring down my eyes. It was like, have you ever seen the movie Mad, Mad, Mad World? I was like Dick Shawn going, I'm coming, mama! I'm coming, mama!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, why'd you have to be a heartbreaker, you bitch? Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be caught out in Baker feeling a little bit moody.
Oh, my God.
And after losing your last 80 bucks playing a 21 driving home alone from Vegas when this song popped. Yeah,
tell me you didn't have air in your car.
No, if I say I'm in my car and
there's
there's no air in the car.
Oh,
there was an atmosphere.
Sure.
Oh, great.
Oh,
you just been
brutal.
Dumped. You're listening to Dionne Warwick. It's summer in the desert.
Oh. This thing came on the radio and I almost drove off the road.
You were by yourself?
Just almost drove into the bun boy and ended it all.
Oh, my God. Right in the big thermometer?
Yeah. It's going to crash in that future thermometer.
Just don't take out the Mad Greek.
No.
Is that over there?
No. Yeah. Yeah, because everyone loves a $26 falafel.
I know. It's pricey. It looks like it would be cheap.
He is mad.
He's so mad.
Yeah.
Mad at us for stopping at his place. Hey, he's going to rape us.
For a Greek. Drive another 200 miles and enjoy. A reasonably priced falafel. Next!
Like you got other options for falafel.
That's what it is.
This is
they
the
fucking
desert.
Know they have you over a goddamn barrel at the Mad Greek.
Oh, they can charge anything.
It's like popcorn at the theater. What are you going to do?
Pay $72 for a tub.
Go pop your own.
He's cornered the market on high desert Greek food.
That's right.
But you know what? He is a dude. I mean, this is one of these things, if you think about it. If you drive to Vegas, halfway to Vegas, there's this Greek place. And it's the Mad Greek or the Great Greek or whatever it
mad.
Is.
But
mad.
It's the Mad Greek. And it's a good example. I'm gonna drive my kids there. And I'm going to say to him one day, I'm going to say, hey, Sonny, and she'll go in Italian. I'll go, yeah, sorry. Now, listen, here's what I want to say. This is Greek food in the middle of the fucking desert, right? And I go, yeah? I go, what percentage of people driving past this thing on their way to Vegas, by the way, are into Greek food? And my son's going to go, I don't know, 25%? I'll go, no, 10%. But guess what percentage of that 10% he gets? 100%. And that's all he needs to laugh all the way to the Great Greek Bank. You know what I mean?
Tomorrow's lesson? Split pea soup.
That's right.
Oh, Buellton?
Heading out to Buellton.
Anderson split
pea
soup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's a million burger places all the way down the highway. But you got to have arguments. You get a car with four guys? Like, Wendy's. No, 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 no. We're doing Carl's Jr. No, no, no. We're doing In-N-Out. No, no. You're getting that thing? But Greek? There could be no argument. Smaller pool, but you get 100% of them.
I want to go to passive aggressive Greek. I don't want to go to Mad. It's only 100 more miles, and it's falafel is better.
Catty Greek.
Catty Greek.
All right, you got another story?
I
know
do.
What we're talking about. Oh yeah, cheese.
Cheese. Man stole some cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And now on to a story about unicorn meat.
Mm.
Yeah, a website called Think Greek.
That's what I named my penis.
Unicorn meat.
Yeah.
Because it has a horn, or it doesn't exist, or girls like it, little girls like it.
It's a conversation starter.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, let's say we're at a bar.
Right.
Hey, what's your name?
I'm Teresa.
Oh. I know what my penis's name is?
Not really.
Unicorn meat? Thanks for asking. How about another round?
You make me uncomfortable.
You want to know why it's called unicorn meat?
I really, please.
It's don't. Rarely seen in the wild.
Okay. That's my boyfriend. You see that tall guy? See that tall guy over
there? Sweetie, who are you kidding?
That's my, really, seriously, that's my boyfriend.
I sized you up when you're coming in.
He doesn't take kindly to people bothering.
That guy's the bouncer. Does your boyfriend have one of those clicker things that tells how many people are in the club?
I'm talking to my friend.
All right. No, no, no. You know you want the unicorn me. Now beg for it. Come on, I'll get you Jameson's.
Okay. Ooh. I'm in.
See?
I'm in.
I might have a half a Vicodin rolling around my sofa. Yeah. You look for it. I'll get behind
you. Jeez, I've put out for less.
Mm-hmm.
A website called ThinkGeek sells gag gifts, but now they're in trouble over their candy unicorn meat.
What?
Which I think is actually kind of a funny gag gift. It sort of looks like Spam, and it's got a little rainbow, and it's called unicorn meat. Mm-hmm. But they have a tagline, pâté is passé, unicorn, the new white meat.
Uh-oh.
And the National Pork Board didn't think it was funny.
I thought those ACLU guys were, I mean, I thought the NAACP guys were pissed again.
Oh.
Over the black hole. Meat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were upset about the greeting card. They thought it said black whore.
Carl Sagan would be so proud. Yeah, so who's pissed?
The National Pork Board?
Yeah.
Because the other white meat
good
is,
name for TSV.
It's not kosher. The other white meat is pork's thing.
Right.
And so they didn't want it. They didn't want it to be part of this gag gifts marketing campaign.
Yeah, but listen, you got to understand. You come up with the other white meat, and it becomes a punchline to a lot of jokes. It's sort of like, can I buy a vowel? Remember when comedians were doing that all through like the 80s and 90s? Hey, can I buy a vowel? Remember to laugh it up? It's the other white meat was always like sort of, hey, look, when you launch something, you have to expect that this is what's going to happen.
Well, they were hit with a cease and desist, these Think Geek people with their unicorn meat gag gift. Uh-huh. So they issued an apology.
Uh-huh.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
Sort of, speaking of passive aggressive.
Dear pig killers.
We'd like to publicly apologize to the National Pork Board for the confusion over unicorn and pork, and for their awkward extended pause on the phone after we had explained our unicorn meat doesn't actually exist. It was never our intention to cause a national crisis and misguide American citizens regarding the differences between the pig and the unicorn. In fact, ThinkGeek's canned unicorn meat is sparkly, a bit red, and not approved by any government entity.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to make a plaster mold of some vomit. Good day. And by the way, Bert, how's that cat shit coming? Thank you. Good day.
Yeah. I said good day!
What do you call your penis again?
Unicorn meat?
Unicorn meat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is there a difference between a spinoff and a sequel? And why does that matter to Michael Douglas?
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money riding on the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gecko.
Well, his ex-wife wants a piece of his Wall Street money. Deandra Douglas is taking the actor to court because as part of their 2000 divorce settlement, Michael agreed to pay her earnings from projects he worked on during their 20-year marriage, including any possible spinoffs.
Uh-huh.
Since the upcoming Wall Street 2 Money Never Sleeps is a sequel to the 1987 hit, she is demanding 50% of his paycheck and royalties from the new film. Now, his lawyer is insisting that a sequel is not the same thing as a spinoff, so stay out of our pockets.
Uh-huh.
A judge has yet to rule.
Yeah. I don't know what she got. I heard she got like $45 million
or something
insane.
But he got Catherine Zeta-Jones. So.
Right. So where everything's cool, let's move on. Let's call it a life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I know there's a punitive part of most of this stuff. And then I also know once you gear up with lawyers, they're just the world's shittiest bug in your ear. It's like if you had the devil on both shoulders. You don't even have that fucking guy playing the harp trying to tell you what the right thing to do is. I don't even blame half these people. There's some cocksucker ambulance chasers like, you know, you're entitled to, you know, and meanwhile, they're going to be entitled to 20% or whatever the fuck they get her. So they just put that bug and then they just keep working it. And then they do, you know, and then when she says, well, I'm fine. Well, you're fine. But how about your kids? And what if blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, they're just fucking doing it. You know,
we need Canadian judges.
Yes.
Just reasonable. Like, you know what? Look.
Listen.
Let's not fuck around. Obviously, this Wall Street thing is related to the other Wall Street thing, so don't be an asshole. But 50% is a lot. So why don't you just pay her 25% and let's all go home?
Or 10% because you got $45 million the first
time.
How
much money do you need?
Did you go through the first $45 million? It's been 8 years. Are you cool?
Yeah. Come back to court when you're down to $12
million. I'll tell you what. I'll give you 1 hour to round up three people that are doing better than you.
Out of this 1 hour. Yes.
1 hour. Outside of this courtroom. You can't point at Michael, and you can't point at your attorney.
Not
related to you. I'll give you 1 hour to fucking just run out in the streets of Los Angeles and find three people that are doing better than you. Go. And if you can't do it, I'll give you 10%. Because that means you don't really have problems.
Definitely punitive, right?
Well, look. I'm sure she's pissed. And I'm sure she's bitter about, and also, Catherine Zeta-Jones is so hot that it's like, you have to, you know, like if you're the jilted husband, you know, wife, like you got to go, that bitch stole my man. What the fuck is, and then someone shows you a picture of Catherine Zeta-Jones and you're like, what if I could eat her pussy while she was blowing him? Maybe I could make myself useful. I guess he's right. He's right. She's hot. What are you going to do? She's from where? What's her accent like? What?
Wales?
She's classically trained Shakespearean.
A tap dancer?
Forget it. I'm going to kill myself. Fuck
she had
this.
An Oscar?
Nah. Someone find me something sharp to fall on. Give me that Swifter. I'm going to sharpen the edge. I'll fall on it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not before I eat this gallon of ice cream.
Yeah. Well, this would... I'll tell you why I don't go for this. This is going to set a precedent that's unprecedented. Like those two, like that.
Yeah.
Thank you. This means every divorce from now on could just really be looked at. Like, well, wait a minute, you know? I mean, I know they have a thing where any of your earnings we can, but this most actors who do sequels, I mean, how many actors can say they did, you know, Harrison Ford, hey, man, you're going off and doing Indiana Jones. What the fuck? It's been 25 years since we've knocked off here. But, hey, that's a nice paycheck. And I was with you when you did the first Indiana Jones. I mean, and I agreed to get part of creative whatever. I mean, this is going to open up a can of worms. Yes?
That any sequel you do, but it's right there in their agreement.
Well, not only that, but, I don't know, mute musicians, you know. I don't know what happens when the best of. Album comes out in 10 years,
is
you know,
or
whatever.
A spin-off?
Does that, well, it's a collection. You're reselling stuff that happened when I was around. I mean, the math of when I was around, I think you could do that. That's a Kevin Bacon, Six Degrees kind of thing. I mean, that's, if you wanted to get creative, there's not much Michael Douglas could do that doesn't get back to her at some point. All right. Well, anyway. My whole thing is, if you got 45 mil the first time around, and I don't know what you got, I just heard it was something pretty insane, and I'm guessing if you're Michael Douglas, it would have been something pretty insane the first time around, then just go spend it and enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, here's a reasonable response. Probably you actually are entitled to this, but you have a shitload of money. Why don't you just try to enjoy the rest of your life?
And I would argue that you're, in the eyes of the law, entitled, but not in the eyes of God or, you know, Mother Nature. Or Allah. You know what I mean? Oh,
right.
Man. I wonder what those divorces, how those Middle Eastern divorces go. Tell you what, Your Honor, my client's a reasonable man. He's decided not to behead her because he's feeling, and he's in a good mood. I was thinking about stoning her to death.
In arbitration, they decide how many fingers she can keep?
Yeah. All right. That's good. Yeah, this is awesome. Should we bring our guest in?
Yeah.
Missy
Suicide from the Suicide
Girls.
Oh,
yeah. I was just going to just think about beating off to that earlier today.
But you didn't know if you should or could?
Nah, I just thought it'd be in poor form, you know? Mm-hmm. I see the Suicide Girls on, what are they on? Are they on Showtime?
Yeah, I didn't know about the Suicide Girls until today.
Hi, have a seat. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Put your headphones on and tell me about this phenomenon known as the Suicide Girls, because I come across it. Is it on Showtime?
Our movie, Suicide Girls Guide to Living, is currently airing on Showtime.
Well, then it is. And the show's on, right?
And the...
Well, I see the Suicide Girls, like, when I skip around the TV channels, I see Suicide Girls all the time.
Yeah, we've had two movies air on Showtime so far. Our first tour that followed the girls on their first tour.
Ah, that's what I'm watching, yeah.
And then their first burlesque tour. And then we also had Suicide Girls Italian Villa, where we took a bunch of the girls from Europe and brought them to a villa in Tuscany for a week and just filmed all the beautiful goings-on.
Abundanza. Yeah.
Why are you called Suicide Girls?
Because it's about girls that choose to commit social suicide, girls that choose not to fit in.
Mm-hmm. Like you talking about with the tats and the piercings and all that stuff?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How'd it get started?
It got started in 2001, so we've been around for nearly 10 years now.
And are you one of the founding mothers?
I am. I am the founder.
How'd that go?
It's been great so far.
Well, obviously successful. And there's a market for it, but how did the idea come to you?
The idea came because I thought that the girls that I knew were the most beautiful girls in the world, the girls with, you know, personality and tattoos and piercings and girls that had a little bit something different going on than just the standard cookie-cutter version of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to take pinup-style photos of them and create a community around it. And, you know, it's taken off. We've got over 2,000 suicide girls from around the world. Every continent, including Antarctica, has a suicide girl on it.
And how does it... Who's the clientele? I mean, like, what kind of guy, for the most part? Dealing with guys?
It's pretty 50-50 split.
There's a lot of chicks in there?
Mm-hmm.
Who like... And are we calling them lesbians?
I think there's a lot of straight ladies as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And they log on to the website? And
yes.
Watch softcore porn.
No, it's like pinup. It's
Michelle McGee type stuff, except without the Nazi.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with her whole repertoire.
Right.
I know kind of what it was like, her version of what it was about, but you know, think Betty Page, but
all right, yeah,
modern version. So
yeah, that's what it seemed like to me as I was. Watching it, I mean, I feel like it's been on for a while because I must have seen the goes on tour version of it, but I haven't seen the movie. So let's talk about the movie.
Well, our new movie came out today, Suicide Girls Must Die.
Mm-hmm.
It's our reality horror movie.
Now, how do you do a reality horror movie?
Well, we were thinking about, you know, the girls and I were sitting down. Sawa, who's one of the director. She and I were sitting around, and we were like, you know, we really love horror movies. We want to make a horror movie, but we can't write a horror movie script. And even if we could, the girls can't act. And so,
right.
So we were faced with these challenges. Uh-huh. So we thought, why not tell them that we're going to make another movie that's going to be like The Italian Villa, where we take the girls out to a remote location, have like, you know, shoot a calendar. And instead, we'll pick them off one by one and leave the other ones to think that their friends, you know, not know what their friends did, whether they're, you know, alive or dead or what's going on and if they could be next.
And so where'd you shoot it?
In Maine.
That was the Italian Villa?
Oh, no. Maine. That's the Suicide Girls Must Die.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Got my Italian Villa's mixed up. How long was the shoot?
The shoot was, I think... It was a week or 10 days.
And that's not very long.
Mm-mm.
That's fast.
Well, I mean, I think after, we weren't really hurting anybody. And so, I mean, you had to, like, you know, after a few days, the girls would kind of
catch on.
So you had so you'd pick them off kind of quick.
But, and to be a suicide girl, what if you don't have any tattoos?
It's more about personality. There are girls without tattoos.
Oh, there are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gotta masturbate. I mean, I gotta check it out.
Without piercings or tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
But they're,
I never see them.
Yeah.
They're
behind the camera?
No, I mean, there's some that, like, I'm trying to think if any of those girls on screen don't have any. There's a number of girls that don't have any piercings or tattoos, but they tend to be, you know, kind of alt girls anyway.
I gotta say, I haven't seen it, but I'm gonna keep looking, because that's my thing.
No tattoos or piercings?
Nah, I don't like tattoos or piercings.
Why?
I just feel like the form is already there. I kind of feel like it's when people stick shit on a nice car. I just feel like it's already there. What are you messing around? There's some stuff that works better than others, but it's like these guys who drive the Corvettes and stick all the shit on the Corvette. The Corvette's fine. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I mean, but you should customize. You don't believe in customizing at all? No custom car?
I'm trying to think of...
You're a stock car man?
Nah, I don't like stock cars. I'm trying to think of... I like little Japanese cars. You know, probably weirder than you think I am. Yeah.
It's kinky.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think. Like, I guess what it is I don't think it ever got me anywhere with a woman or it helped her cause. That's what I'm saying. I mean, like you're pretty.
Thank you.
The nose ring, you'd still be pretty. You know, but it would be the same thing. Like, I wouldn't look at you and go, ooh, now I see the nose ring. Now I'm sold. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about self-expression, you know, why the girls customize their bodies.
Well, it's definitely game on, but then the other thing is, too, is now that it's game on, and the idea is to kind of, be non-conformist, now what do? Like, if you're trying to kind of... Like, you know, once everyone gets a tattoo, then you've got to be the one without the tattoo.
Right.
Is the one that's the rebel, right?
The Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah, Alex P. Keaton would be the rebel of the suicide girls. Like, he's crazy, man. That guy won't do anything.
You won't get any piercings, no tattoos, nothing. Right.
So hardcore.
Missy, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Portland, Oregon.
That's a good place to be a suicide girl, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of where the birth of all the suicide girls were. The term suicide girls comes from a Chuck Palahniuk book, and he's from Portland. He's the one that wrote Fight Club.
Oh, my God. In fact, I just read his book about the sex addict. God, I can't remember the name of it, but they made it into a movie that I didn't see. But it was great, and I liked Lullaby, too.
Not Choke?
Choke. That was it, yeah.
Choke's a sex addict one?
Yeah, it's good.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you learn? Anything about yourself?
Well, I did learn something. I learned that sex addicts have a problem when they go to their meetings because they just meet other sex addicts and then they go to the bathroom with a 12-step meeting and have sex in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a fictional account, but doesn't it seem like that would happen? It's just a place to meet other sex addicts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can't bring a pony keg into an AA meeting. Learn the hard way. But the sex addict thing, I mean, that is something. I mean,
you can't, like, leave your vagina in the car. You have to bring it.
No. I know Quincy Jones puts that over the door. Check your vag in the car.
Right.
But you can't do it. And you're who you are. And, by the way, you ain't there because you're cured. You're there because you got some issues.
You're working on it.
Maybe group therapy isn't the best for the sex addict.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a daisy chain.
But I do know people who, and I think this is part of the therapeutic process, but they get kind of a crush on their therapist. So even one-on-one therapy, you probably just end up having sex with your therapist.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time.
I've never had a therapist come on to me.
Me either.
None of those dudes wanted any of this. Kind of frustrated. At least, give, you know, as a therapist, you know, most of the people, I just thought of this. This is why I'd be a great therapist and a great dad. The therapist.
What's your daughter's name?
Cindy. I don't know. What, I check her ID when she comes in the house? It's like, hey, you. Hey, sweetie. I call her sweetie. And the point is this. Therapists, so much of it is about self-esteem and about what these people have gone through and these issues involving their self-worth and stuff like that. I'll bet you coming on to a patient actually make them feel pretty good about themselves. So as a sex therapist or even just a therapist, like my policy just to try to repair the person's torn
That's a good idea.
Psyche
yeah.
would be they sit down, like Teresa, like you sat down and be like, let's face it, I know how fucked up you are. If we sat together for 5 years, there would be a little part of your brain going, why my therapist never come on to me? Am I not attractive? Something wrong with me?
Yeah.
So just the first time you sit down, Like, hello, I'm Dr. Carolla.
Hi, doctor.
Skirt looks good on you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You blaming your parents?
Yeah.
Would you blame me if I sat next to you? You know what I mean? And then you just go, I feel this inappropriate, and I go, you're right, but sorry, you're so attractive. It's really, I've never done that with a patient before, but your magnetism, you're like Catherine Zeta-Jones. Anyway, let's move forward. And you'd feel pretty good about yourself for the rest of the thing.
Yeah, I think, wow, he had to go around his professional boundaries to hit on me because I was that appealing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then my self-esteem would be cured, and I wouldn't have to go back to you, though. So yeah. How do you make your scratch?
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem. Tough. You got to keep your clients nuts.
Oh, easy. I charge $10,000 for one session.
Oh, good. And then
you're
cured.
Yeah, then you're cured. Yeah. I'll leave it up to you. You want to do $100 a pop for the rest of your life? You're going to shell up $10,000.
Is there a suicide girl stance on therapy? Are you pro?
I'm pro therapy. Yeah. Big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Yeah. We all like therapists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if they don't show us the quiet dignity of trying to fuck us. At least a blowjob. Come on, buddy. You know what I mean?
No, I've never been hit on.
My therapist have never hit on me either.
Yeah. What the fuck? Maybe they're... But not to mention my dentist.
Nothing?
Nothing. Not even a handy.
Any medical doctors?
Nothing. It's real. I'm starting to get a complex.
Don't you have to go to the doctor that makes you, you know, cough, turn and cough?
Well, yeah, some old guy touching your balls for a high school football physical hardly counts as a sexual encounter, even though it felt good.
Well, of course.
And I did come.
Did he tell you that you were attractive?
They always do the turn your head and cough, and I was always figuring out, like, what's turning your head? Is it to do flex muscles in your chest or do something?
What does that have to do with
it? I figured it out at a certain point. So you don't cough on their bald head.
Oh, right.
Because otherwise, you stare down at the guy and his bald head, at your balls, and you go, and you just cough on his head. Turn your head and cough is put your head up and move it the other way, and then cough.
Right, the coughing probably has some purpose, but not the turn your head part.
I gotta believe the coughing serves some purpose, otherwise they're insane. Because they were really like masochists that go vomit.
Right.
I like the fart. All right, should we do a little made up movie?
Sure.
Yeah. Brian, do you have ourselves an intro here?
According to an ancient Mayan prophecy, in the year 2010, a hero would rise to turn your movie titles into blockbusters.
Glad it's not me. Glad that ain't me.
That hero is Adam Carolla.
Boy, that could be me.
And this is Made Up Movie.
All right, here's how this works. You call in, you throw out a title. We all just jump on it, do a little gang banging, and figure out what the movie is. I'll tell you, we've been pretty successful in the past. We've got some stuff that's, it's right up there with Night at the Museum, a lot of these premises. Very strong. Hey, Spencer?
Yeah, Adam, what's up?
What's going on, Spencer?
Get it on.
Get it on, buddy.
Just want to say, you know, love the podcast, love the new show, love the new format. I've turned two of my best friends onto it. I love you.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Spencer. That's all we ask. We'll do it for free. Just turn on a couple buddies to it, and let's build our numbers.
Absolutely. All right, so you want to know my movie title?
Sure.
Neighborhood Watch.
Neighborhood Watch. All right. This is a comedy.
It's got to be a double entendre, right? Is it about an actual?
No. I think this one's just on the head. This is one of those Dan Aykroyd and someone like Phil Hartman. Mm-hmm. He would have been good for this. Or maybe we go Schwarzenegger. He comes out. He comes out of his dormant acting phase, and of course they're neighbors, and it becomes this. Let's get Tom Arnold in on this baby too.
Okay.
We'll get him in on it. And here's the deal. They are doing one of those. It's wacky sort of hijinks. It's Neighborhood Watch. There's of course some of the guys are really gung ho. Other guys are really laid back. But now I got it. It's just an excuse so these guys can get out of the house and play cards.
Oh, yeah, because their wives are shrews.
Yeah, and their wives are shrews and harpies, and they're like Michael Douglas's first wife, and they got to get out of there. So it's like, oh, honey, I wish I could stay home and watch Desperate Housewives with you, but I have to go train with them, whatever. So right. They train, and they lead everyone to believe that they have rankings and they have jackets made up. They lead everyone to believe that they've been training the whole time, but really they've been sitting around drinking beer and playing cards the whole time. And then the terrorists invade.
Oh.
And they're totally untrained.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing. But everyone's thing is like, oh, thank God we have a well-armed militia who's been working on this stuff for the last 5 years. And like, oh, God, I don't know what's going on. They're parachuting down like Red Dawn.
Yeah, now, this is a comedy, right? So there has to be the hilarious scene where they're at the firing range. Yeah. And it's just a disaster, like accidentally shooting the, the light fixture.
Right, yeah, but ricocheting off. Some woman is smoking a cigarette in the parking lot and takes it out like a whip, you know? And then there's also a scene, too, where it's like they've been claiming that they've been building a shelter in the back of Tom Arnold's house the whole time. Like, oh, man, it's tiring. We have to dig it. We have to stock it with food and, you know, water supply. You don't want to know. And then meanwhile, they've been playing cards the whole time. So at a certain point, when the terrorists land, the wives are like, hey, well, let's go. We'll go take shelter. We'll go down the they're out in the backyard.
And the terrorist leader is some highly decorated general from over there. But keeps getting outwitted unintentionally by their
and he thinks they're tactical geniuses.
Yeah.
But really, it's just dumb luck. And by the way, can you have a movie about bumbling law enforcement agents without Kevin James?
No, let's get
Kevin. The law.
It's Paul Blart meets Red Dawn.
Right.
I mean, if I was describing it. Yeah.
You could go with, more on the nose and have like an Ice Cube character.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be black.
You need somebody ethnic. Yeah. Of course.
Ethnic.
Yeah.
Well, what about Craig Robinson? He's hot right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's funny. That's right. Yeah.
Get him in.
Yeah, but, you know, he's married to an Asian broad who never stops
ordering him around.
Always order him around.
Find out halfway through the movie, she's a knives expert. She was a knife thrower in a previous
movie. Well, that's what happens. The ladies buck up.
Yeah. And they're the ones
who... What we don't know is they've been meeting while the guys were meeting.
Right.
And they weren't playing cards.
Yeah.
They were training.
And Kevin James' wife used to be a gymnast.
Yeah.
So she has all kinds of moves.
Maybe they've been doing some kind of stripper pole training.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what suburban wives do.
Yeah.
So they they're very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alan
Rickman plays the terrorist. Yeah, Rickman plays.
Yeah, and by the way, the terrorists are not Muslim. They're just, basic blonde terrorists you see every day.
The mercenaries.
Yeah, no,
mercenaries. Highly trained. Supposedly moderately trained mercenaries. Or the poorly trained mercenaries. They're clearly poorly trained mercenaries. All right. Spencer?
Yeah.
You cool with that?
I loved it.
Thanks,
it's
buddy.
A hit!
Good times. Thanks for spreading the word. All right. Let's just go down the line. Jesus?
Oh, Ace Man.
What's going on, Jesus?
Oh, man, I'm a big, big fan.
Thank you.
I tell everybody I work to here listening to you, and I want to thank you for putting some money and time into this program.
Our pleasure.
T, I'm scared to say this in front of my wife, but you're very beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yes. And the guest, big, big fan with the guest.
They like the Suicide Girls.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you got for us?
Mexican-American Ninja.
All right. First, I see Carlos Mencia really is a breakout role for him. And, it's got a little Karate Kid.
Yeah, if they can train Jaden Smith to
be
a ninja.
Karate Kid meets Stand and Deliver.
Oh, I like that. You get a little neighborhood kid who doesn't have a father figure,
mm-hmm.
and kids beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs the Mexican-American ninja to train him, which, by the way, is man.
The kid from Modern Family.
Modern Family. Yeah, the chubby. Yeah, chubby Hispanic kid with all the lifetime.
Like that.
Yeah.
Training montage where he's jogging and losing weight.
Well, but here's the whole thing. It's got a whole Mexican spin on it. You know what I mean? So, they practice chasing the lunch truck. You know, that's the road work. You know what I mean? It's derogatory. Don't get me wrong. It's
very derogatory. So instead of critics, wax on, wax off, they're doing like gardening.
Well, they're doing it. No, they're doing wax on, wax off, but as they widen the shot, we see it's a lowrider car.
Yes, there
you know
is.
What I mean? That kind of stuff.
It's
going to
get
know?
Picketed by a lot of groups, and they're going to be pissed off at Carlos Mencia.
Right.
Sell out. And
there's like a scene where they go down to the beach to practice on one of those pylons, and one of the Minutemen comes running out with a shotgun and shoots running away. And yeah, the critics are going to hate this thing.
No, you hire,
it's going to make a ton of money.
You hire Rob Rodriguez to direct. It's a whole Hispanic, like, you know, cast and crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and here's something that's never been done in a Hispanic themed movie. We play that song Lowrider.
What?
Oh, they never.
Never happened. Never. Never. Ever. Never.
Cheech and Chong need to make an appearance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they good. Show up. Oh, wait a minute. Chong is in drag. They are an elderly couple.
Yeah.
An elderly Hispanic couple. They're the grandparents.
Abuelita.
Does anyone like. Like, if I'm directing Carlos Mencia in his next stand-up special, I'm like, hey, I pulled some music for the promos. If I hear this song, I'm like, everyone's fired. If I fucking hear Lowrider, I will fire everyone's ass in this room because that means you don't have any fucking drop of creative blood coursing through your collective goddamn veins. Does this song have to get played over every fucking Hispanic scene? Everything. You know what, Brian? Write this down. I'm going to write a Mexican theme song just so I can get some fucking airplay for movies and promos.
While you're at it, why don't you come up with a song that's sung on someone's birthday?
Oh, it's a good idea. George Lopez has another special coming out on HBO. Let me guess what song's going to be playing.
Is it klezmer music?
Oh, Ride of the Valkyries. Wait a minute, what? All right. So fucked out. Anyway, we're going to play this on a loop.
The entire movie.
Non-stop. Never going to end. Jesus? Uh-oh. I think we lost him. These Mexicans got to pay their phone bills. They drop all the time. That's going to be another joke in the movie. Another joke. Another stereotypical
right, everyone
joke.
Goes at the payphone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny. Yeah. And there's like a... Yeah. Do lots of scenes where he has to take on guys by the freeway swinging orange sacks at him. It's all stereotypical Mexican stuff.
Could they be in Arizona and there could be like a karting
thing? Oh, yeah. That well, the All Valley finale takes place in Tucson. Yeah, he has to go there, and they get pulled over with no ID, and Sheriff Payacala or whatever his name is, he plays himself.
Oh, he does a cameo.
He does a cameo.
I like that.
Yeah, they get pulled over. They get tempted to deport him. They have to break out of Tent City. It's going to be exciting.
So it has political.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're definitely sending a message to the fat cats in Washington. Yeah. Hey, Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you cool with this?
Yeah, man, that was funny. Yeah. Man, great stuff.
Yeah, Mencia is going to be awesome in this.
It's a hit!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks. You smoke a little weed, Jesus?
Oh, you could tell?
Yeah, I can always tell.
No, I did that on purpose. I always know you could tell with the laugh.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Right, hi, Jesus.
Let's try another one. Let's just go to line three. We'll just go down the line. Who do we got? Matt?
Hey guys.
What do you got, Matt?
Movie title is Cold Snap.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I see this as more of a thriller.
Ooh.
I've been working a lot of comedy here, but I see this as more of a thriller. And I see this as one of those depressing, very well-made, like when... oh, man, what is her name? Charlize Theron makes herself ugly.
Yeah. Mm.
One of those movies.
Monster.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you want her to star in Cold Snap?
Yeah, she puts on a couple of pounds. She plays a Minnesota housewife.
The fake teeth.
Fake teeth.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. She's married to Alec Baldwin, is a sort of semi-abusive older husband. And she's really...
Copies for closers only.
Yeah. That's what he starts off with, and it takes place in the coldest winter in the last 80 years.
And she starts to suspect something's going on with Alec?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Suspects he's a successful realtor. And
right.
She says, and she thinks he's having an affair.
But she comes to find out there's something far more sinister going on.
Right.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Mm-hmm. Finds out there's a plot.
Right, she's just following him, thinking she's going to catch him with some, you know, some gal.
Right.
But instead, she realizes that there's international espionage.
He shows people houses and then never return.
Right.
And she's like, this meat you're bringing home is delicious. He's like, yeah, set up.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, they're eating his clients.
That's right.
That's right.
See, now,
like Motel Hell.
Or, okay, or we could go an entirely different direction.
Now it's too late. All right, go ahead.
I think we should and can turn back.
All right.
Let's try and save Cold Snap.
But now this idea has to be an 11 now to undo the 3.
What? I can undo the 3 with a 5.
All right, let's go.
Which I think this is going to be a solid 5.
Mm.
Okay, now, this is a documentary.
They eat his clients.
And oh, you're getting rid of Charlize?
Fuck her. She's out. All that right. did not go anywhere.
Wow, she put on 40 pounds and now they're pulling the plug on
it? Now it's done.
Wow. All right, go ahead. Documentary.
People are going to start thinking she's pregnant. It's a documentary about a group of teenagers. And let's just say they're, like, in the Republic of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And they've discovered American beat poetry, and they're obsessed with it. It's all they think about. It's all they talk about.
Haven't we
they
done
wear
this
berets,
one?
And they, you know, because they snap.
Uh-huh.
So it's cold.
So I don't think they're, like, Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, but they're, like, 15 or 16, and they right. just latched on to this piece of American culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it explores what that generation of poets
and
has
to
say.
And it's funny because they're, like, he is like Squirrelsville, daddy-o.
That's in the trailer.
Yeah. Whoa, mama, you're bringing me down.
From the director of Spellbound comes right. Cold Snap.
Right, right. And they're singing Bob Dylan songs. How many miles must a man walk in snow? Like, yeah, they're playing bongos and stuff like that. And they're doing
they have
Peter,
nothing.
Paul, and Mary.
They're completely poverty-stricken. It's freezing
the
cold.
The answer, my friend, is she's blowing in the wind. You like that kind of stuff?
Exactly.
All right. Drinking getting
because,
fresh ground coffee for the first time.
Because their country is also undergoing youth revolution.
How about a hockey comedy starring Taylor Lautner?
Oh, he's hot.
Yeah.
Now, can Charlize Theron play his mom?
Yeah.
Because she already gained the weight.
Yeah. All right. Let's do one more. Let's go back up to the top and speak to Duncan. Duncan.
Hey, Adam.
What's going on, Duncan?
Not a whole lot. Good to finally get on the show.
Great to talk. You calling from Chicago?
I am.
Yeah, we're just out there a few weeks back.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to make sure you come back. I was in Milwaukee for that show.
Well, if they told me you were going to be in Milwaukee, I would have rescheduled, but I thought you were in town. It says Duncan from Chicago. So what's up, Duncan?
Not a whole lot. The movie title is Hell's Waiting Room.
Mm. Rob Zombie directs.
Now, this is your genre
this
now.
This is my genre now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hell's Waiting Room. I don't know how you guys
can there be
this.
Hot
it's your
pin-up.
Genre. Come
Let's
on.
Let's put in some hot pin-up style girls.
Yeah, there you
right?
go.
Yeah, hot girls.
Go with what you know.
Right?
Hot
with
girls.
With tattoos and piercings.
Maybe some zombies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the hot girls are the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Hell's Waiting Room.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing some kind of tattoo waiting room? I don't know. I'm really bad at this whole thing.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. I think we're on to something here.
All right.
You have it. From Dusk Till Dawn,
mm-hmm.
with George Clooney, and I think how that bar was really just sort of, mm-hmm. It was just sort of Hell's doorstep, really. So how about we take that theme, but we bring it to a tattoo parlor?
Nice.
And so it's a tattoo parlor, but it's really when they pull back, you see, it's just an entry into hell, and everyone is waiting there. What goes on back? You don't want to know what goes on back. In the behind the curtain,
in the back
behind
rooms.
In the back room of the tattoo parlor. So all right, so so far all we got is Rob Zombie directing.
So there's hot tattoo artist girls,
right?
Yeah,
in the tattoo room.
Megan Fox is the lead tattooist.
Oh, I like that. Now
maybe Diablo Cody could write it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she knows, ladies.
Yeah, I like that.
And Megan is completely covered in tats, but hot.
And the dialogue would be extra snappy because of that Juno-style writing.
Yeah. And then there's she's snappy and funny, and she's ultra-sexy. Yeah. You know, and she's
Megan
like...
Megan Fox
you're like,
sexy?
Do you have tattoos everywhere? And she's like, not everywhere. There's one spot I don't. Let's see if you can find it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see if your fleshy tattoo pen can find it. Yeah.
And that's the key to getting out of Hell's Waiting Room or something. Mm-hmm. You have to find the...
Who else is in this?
Well,
let's get Charlize Theron back in.
Can we get her? She drops the 40 pounds and gets back in. Now, are all the tattoo artists women?
I think they should all be sexy girls.
Sexy
girls.
That are really zombies, or should they really be vampires. Vampires.
I like
really
to
right
cast as like sort of the queen bee, Susan Sarandon, as like the original Suicide Girl.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I mean, because she's hot.
Yeah.
She's totally hot. She was in Rocky Horror.
Right. Yeah. Perfect.
Same outfit. Yeah. Same outfit.
Same outfit from Rocky Horror.
And here's the thing that's weird with her: not a tat on her.
Right.
She's like one of these coke dealers who's never tried coke. It's ironic.
It's a business
it's
deal.
It's funny that it's her. Her name's on the place and everything, but she's Rosie. She's the number one tattoo artist in America. Not so much. She doesn't even wear nail polish. Everyone thinks it's funny.
No,
it's
earrings.
Ironic. Nothing. Nothing. It's pure business for her.
She's right up your alley.
But what happens? Yeah, straight edge. But what happens?
In Hell's Waiting Room, I mean, isn't that a place where they decide whether or not you go to hell?
Yeah. All right. Well, then what happens? Someone pulls a plug on the projector. Right. Come on.
Okay, so you're in Hell's Waiting Room. Mm-hmm. You have to get out. Somebody accidentally ends up in Hell's Waiting Room.
Mm.
But they didn't do anything wrong.
But they didn't do anything
Reese
wrong.
Reese Witherspoon did Reese? Nothing.
Yeah.
And suddenly she ends up there.
She
was in a misunderstanding.
Here's what happened. Her Miata broke down when she was driving through wine country and got picked up by a bunch of Heshers in a van who just robbed a liquor store. When the van went off the cliff into the drink, they mistakenly just took everyone in the van.
Yeah, they
and
must
put them right
all
there.
Be
yeah. She
Satan's
shouldn't,
pawns.
She shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Reese is disgusted.
And it's kind of like defending your life.
Yeah. Oh, I like that movie.
This
yeah.
is damn exciting.
All right. Let's go out on top with a defending your life analogy, or at least comparison. You got an out for us, Bald Brian?
Adam Carolla will return in Made Up Movie. Part 2.
That clip from 2010. That'll do for Corolla Classics. Before we get out of here, want to remind everybody about LifeLock. This pandemic has led to a huge increase in unemployment claims, but sadly, con artists have filed tens of thousands of fraudulent claims using consumers' identities. And the FTC has moved identity theft to the number one spot for fraud in America. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and you could miss certain threats just by monitoring your credit. But good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information is at risk or if there's anything going on, they send you an alert right away. Check it out. It's LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at LifeLock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
All right, before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody about some live shows in West Palm Beach, November 20th and 21st. We're doing 5 shows. We got 2 stand-up shows, 2 live Adam Carolla shows, and a Reasonable Doubt podcast. So make sure to come and check those out. We'll be at the Improv November 20th and 21st. Also, we'll be back tomorrow with some more Carolla Classics. Make sure to subscribe to Carolla Classics, the podcast, if you're listening to this through ACS, and you'll get the Sunday show. Hope you enjoyed it. We had a blast, and we'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Follow and get it on.
That episode of Carolla Classics brought to you by Geico. Hey, Gio.
What's up?
How do you banish high rates on car insurance?
By switching to Geico to get already low rates for your car or motorcycle insurance policy.
That's a good guess and absolutely right. And also, you better switch to Geico right now because it's Geico-ween. All right, folks at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. So get a quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geico-ween, everybody.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.